Relax. Let the physical drift away. Let the mental be quiet. Let the emotion be still. And let the spirit fill your soul. God is spirit, the creative energy that is the cause of all visible things. God is spirit. God is power. God is intelligence. God is life. God is love. God is the substance, the real thing standing under every visible form of life, love, intelligence, and power. In communion with spirit, we gain insight to the harmony of divine order. So let us now enter into communion with 2 minutes of silence. Blessing with the nourishing, vibrant energy of God's love filling each of us and expressing through us. If you gently come back to this moment in this place, from wherever your journey took you, the power of the Word, John 1:1-5. Hello, John. Spirit is calling. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. So the power of the Word. In this case, the Word is being given a pretty big thing, which is God, but also Christ. And also the Spirit revealing. Last week I mentioned the power of the number 3. It shows up again. It shows up in the Trinity. So traditionally we hear and say the Trinity is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But in unity, in metaphysics, we consider it as mind, as the Father, idea as the perfect idea of man in the form of the Christ, and expression, the visible outpicturing of mind and idea through us, spirit, soul, body. So you and me as well, we are the visible expression of the Word. We are the living Christ. We are God made flesh. We, you and I, are the demonstration of divine order. Right now, in this moment, this is the fullness of our time. We are God made manifest. We are the power of the Word. So how are we doing? How are we doing at expressing the glory of God? I was reluctant to even ask that question because I'm like, I think people immediately go to where they aren't. I hope you didn't. But if you did, let's deny the lack and affirm what we've just experienced so far today. I'm so happy to be with you and to hear the product of your love, to hear Roberta share from her. I mean, this isn't hypothetical. This isn't just words. This is real life unfolding. And she shared her story. And I can just imagine that her story would be so different if not for how you're doing expressing Christ. And then Jim shares. And you feel the power. And you see him using the power, channeling the power from within, but also receiving the blessing from without. The blessing that is this current expression of Unity Spiritual Center of Westlake, which I mentioned last week, and I want to reinforce that. You, all of us together in this moment, we are, bless you, you're okay. We are unity. We are the Word expressing. We are love. And what can we do to be in greater harmony with Spirit? Well, we can be here. Because there's definitely a power of being together. I've mentioned this before. I walked in a 5K walk from the Science Center downtown Cleveland yesterday, and it just reminded me of how much my energy is uplifted by the community of others with a similar purpose, expressing and walking in honor of diversity in this case. It reminded me how much faster I run when I'm in a 5K, with like bibs and starting lines and things on my feet, because we all lift each other through the expression of ourselves. That is definitely an element of divine order. How important we are with each other together. So one way we can increase our harmony with Spirit is to come together and celebrate the blessing of God. When Roberta told me the name of that song, I'm like, I know that song. But then when I heard it, I'm like, oh, God, I love that song. And so beautifully sung. And nice to know that you were able to do it for us today. How can we be, not just do, but be a more perfect expression of the Christ? Well, the fifth principle of unity guides us here. Through thoughts. Thoughts are important. Words are powerful. And actions. Actions are everything. We live in the truth we know. So if we're going to live in the truth we know through our thoughts and our words and our actions, it makes sense that we would want our thoughts and our words and our actions to be in alignment with the truth. So how do we do that? What is truth, anyway? Should I tell you? Of course not. Although, you may find usefulness in something that I say, and it may guide you and inspire you on your path to truth or in truth. But one of the things Emily and Katie says is that intelligence, we can't figure out truth. Truth is going to come from within, from the indwelling yearning for God's love in our heart. And so it's going to be more from a moment of intuition that revelation of spiritual understanding is going to take root in your soul. However, we can encourage that intuition through our spiritual practices. And one of those is to share the power of the Word. In fact, the spiritual practice for this week is to do exactly that, is to share the power of your Word. Last week we encouraged, the collective we, to just, you know, learn something new about unity. And maybe you did, and maybe you didn't, but I bet at some point in time you thought about something. And I say about unity, it really is about living in truth. I mean, what unity is just a name we give for this thing that we're doing. It's really about coming in harmony with God, with Spirit, and coming into alignment, concordance with divine order. But you have to seek it. You have to ask for it. You know, at one point in time, Emily Cady, you know, as she's working as a doctor in Manhattan, and she decided to stop taking money and just trust that God would fulfill her needs. And she nearly starved to death, according to her words. But she didn't turn away from God. She just realized there was another level of understanding of truth that she hadn't quite discovered yet, for lack of a better word. And then it hit her, at least this is how she shared, and said, I realized that I forgot to ask for it. I just stopped what I was doing and waited, but I did not claim my good to come to me. And apparently after that, she ate better. But, you know, another thing, just to encourage, how can I be a better Christ, a better expression of Christ? By learning from her example, because the thing that I see that she did was she tried to live what she was trying to learn and to put it into practice. You can go anywhere you want and find somebody that will give you words. You know, we all think somebody wants to hear us. Here I am talking in front of a group. But in any case, you know, when people just use words, sometimes they don't really have a lot of punch to them. And I thought about that in terms of people have talked to me about unity speech from different perspectives. And sometimes people say, I'm just so tired that everything is, it's all good. It's not all good. You know, it's all in divine order. It's not all in divine order. I wanted to put that out there a little bit because we all struggle with that. And if you read, you'll see that there's all kinds of places where Dr. Cady talks about it. You know, it's an imperfect process. First of all, I just want to say that it is my understanding that all is not in divine order. That, well, maybe all is, but there's a lot of disorder going on within it, okay? Like, in the absolute truth, if divine order lasts for even a moment, the universe would just fall apart. That's how somebody described it. So we have to trust that, you know, in the biggest essence of things, divine order is in place, and it is this marvelous construct that we live within. And we can count on it. And we see the Nazarene. By the way, that's Jesus of Nazareth. So that's how Dr. Cady refers to him, the Nazarene. I thought that was kind of cute. you know, because it's a nice way of saying he's just like the Wesleyan, right? We are all with Christ. And so she refers to him as the most perfect but yet still imperfect example of harmony with Spirit. There's this apparent challenge of being human that I don't want to say it's not possible, but it seems like it's a little clumsy trying to come into being in full alignment with divine spirit, with divine order. We stumble. We get distracted. We get scared. You know, and yet, I think of how, at least up until I started talking, this service was going so well. And, you know, I've been coming a little earlier to just be part of the energy of the forming of the service. And today I got to witness, I wouldn't go so far as to call it chaos, but I just feel like I need a touch of disorder, you know, because certain people handle things and certain people work together. And then for whatever reason, you know, someone can't be here exactly when they were going to be. And what I love about, in the midst of that seeming disorder, the way order materialized. And, you know, and I just want to encourage everybody to be okay with that and to be comfortable with that. And to, when we find ourselves out of order, what truth encourages us to do is come back to principle. Remind ourselves, okay, I know it, the appearances are that this is out of control, but I know that it's not. And we put a lot of false deadlines on ourselves, false commitments. You know, and when someone gets anxious, you know that they're pressuring themselves. And so how do we do that? Well, one thing is give them space. And know that they're on their path of divine order. And just also hold the energy of seeing everything come into order. And yet, by the time 11 o'clock comes, everything's working beautifully. Everything's coming off, for me, very inspirationally. Just feeling the songs and the sharings. And I just love the fact that there's no magical power making this all happen other than each individual's commitment to creating this moment for us all to share in God's glory. And you guys work together as a team to make this happen. This is just a small example of what's different in the world because of what you do. Each of you contributing your own part, each of you on your own individual journey toward truth. Because no one can give you truth. It comes from inside. But as you share with each other, it can help other people because, oh, what an interesting perspective. Because it's really hard to outrun your own shadow. And so I am stuck in my shadow to some degree. Even though the light is trying to shine on me and extinguish it, I still have those habits that I revert to. I mean, I'm frivolous to say, but it shows up in golf. I get in the rhythm, everything's going good. I'm like, I have found it. Capital I, it. You know, capital T, truth, capital I, it. Found it. And then the next day I get up and I was like, how did I do that, you know? And I know that's just a metaphor for my life. Because even when things are calm and I'm most open to new ideas and new thoughts, it's still a challenge. And then when things start to tighten up a little bit, like there's some sort of time pressure or some sort of thing I need to do, and then you get a little bit rushed or hurried, you tend to fall back to what you're comfortable with. So what do we do to become better? Is it worth studying the power of the words of Emily Cady? To me, it is. And it may not be to you. You may have a different method. But what do you do to get fresh insights? Well, the number one way is to be in communion with Spirit. so to be in the silence and to listen. No one's going to give you better guidance than the God, or the power, we'll call it. It's intuition is how it's going to show up. You're just going to get that feeling. So one of the things is just learning to trust yourself. You know, I just think there's a tendency for us all to have little inferiority complex and a sense of like, well, who me? Who am I? Who am I, Lord? There's a song for that too, right? My wife likes that song. It's you. That's who it is. And you are that expression. And you make such a difference to so many people that you may or may not realize it. I'm often blown away by someone coming up to me and saying, hey, when you did that, that did this for me. I'm like, wow. Thank you for sharing that. That helps me. It encourages me to keep going. So we encourage each other by what? Sharing the word. How many times do you not say something because you think, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't? I say go ahead and say it. You know, it's at the same time, when I think of the power of the word, there's a few people that have said a word or two to me that have really discouraged me. You know, usually someone I really put a lot of trust in or authority in, like my grandfather, or never want to disappoint my grandfather. But when you're this tall, your grandfather is a God figure, or your parents, and sometimes we misunderstand words a lot as children coming from adults, and I've got to say that as adults, we misunderstand messages coming from God. So we're looking to increase our spiritual understanding so that we see things through the eyes and the lens of spirit as opposed to whatever emotional filters and intellectual filters that we've accumulated over the years. And so back to Katie, what she emphasizes, and I don't know that it began with her, but she writes extensively about the unity approach of denials and affirmations. And it's interesting, she talks about some misinterpretations of denial, and there's a couple of verses, and I'm not going to quote all those because it will take too much time, but it's worth reading. Because some people feel like, well, to be close to God, I need to deny myself the pleasures of life. She says, that's not it at all. But, you know, there's even, when I saw the movie with the Code, Da Vinci Code. Anybody see that? Yeah. You know, there's the one guy who's the monk, you know, the albino, and he beats himself. You know, because that there's a whole portion of Christianity that thinks that that type of behavior is somehow pleasing to God. I don't think so, but I don't want to get in the way of their faith. I'm not encouraging you guys to do that. In fact, I'm encouraging the opposite. Yeah, I'm encouraging the opposite is when you start to feel that anxiety and that pressure, just breathe and know that this is going to work out. It doesn't always work out great. But at the end of the day, it's not as big a deal as I usually make it. You know, when I'm the one, it's easy for me to say this when I'm not the one under the gun, you know? And so that's another thing about how we share unity. And you know, sometimes when someone's upset, we might feel the best thing to do is give them some unity truth messages. It's all in divine order, you know? That's not always the right time for that. You know? And I don't want to say that it's not true, but I, you know, as we clumsily try to do this, and Katie talks about it a lot, you know, you're going to start just by doing the denials and the affirmations, and there's very specific ones in there. First denial is there's no evil. There's only the appearance of evil. People are doing things that shouldn't look evil, but that's not divine order. That's something away from it, right? And so, even if the event that's happening might still continue, you bring yourself back into the consciousness of this is not in alignment with God. and bring yourself into that alignment. And even if it's a challenging situation, you will probably deal with it better with the knowing that you're never alone, but the Spirit is with you at all times and ready to support you. Probably we should do less to try to help each other with our words. But when we do feel that something needs to be said, we should start with our heart and not our mind. Start with the compassion of, is this the right time to say anything? And if I say something, what will be the most loving way to share it? Because a lot of times when I'm in trouble or up against it, and I very well be just completely up against my error thinking, is what we call it in Unity, and in certain psychologies they call it private logic. You know, this is the way I think things are, even though it doesn't resonate with truth. And in that moment, I'm just not open to hearing even the right message. How can you help me? And usually, it's just by being with me and letting me know I'm not alone. But sometimes it's words. But all I'm saying is that when we share the words, even if they seem like the right words, let's think through our heart of how those words will land with the person that we intend to help. And by the way, we intend to help almost always. And yet we just are clumsy as heck at helping. You know, because we're not sure what to do. And oftentimes we get even clumsier because we're afraid we'll do it wrong. But we do it anyway, and we do it clumsy, and then sometimes we make it a little bit worse. But if we stick with just loving, we'll find the way through the power of the Word. So, I think the thing that Katie comes back to, and she talks a lot about when we talk about denials and affirmations, the denials definitely clear the way for the new thought to take root and to prosper and grow. And yet some people say, man, I have been affirming this thing to happen in my life over and over again and nothing's happening. This stuff doesn't work. It's just cuckoo. Anybody ever tell you the Unity stuff is cuckoo? It is. But it's my cuckoo and I love it. But in Mark, Jesus says, He doesn't say whatever you ask for, you'll get. That's not what Jesus says, right? What He says is whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. So it's important that we, the power of the Word is not just the words, although the words will help guide us into the right frame. And if we believe what we're saying, it will get stronger. And we also need to do it more than once. For example, let's say I wanted to have six-pack abs. For all you know, I have them. Because I'm not going to show you. All right? So it could be our secret. But if I want that, what do I need to do? Well, one thing is from the affirmation standpoint, I need to do some sit-ups. And not just today. I need to do them today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. I think it's the same thing with our affirmations. And sometimes I read some of the things and I'm like, in fact, I don't want to read it to you because I'm having trouble believing it myself. So that's where I'm at. You know, that there's no aging. And yet we all seem to be aging. And, you know, and this is an interesting topic in Unity. But in any case, what I started to realize in my own digging on that is, you know, some of this stuff is not about the material world at all. And some of this is more about my spirit than necessarily my body. And I also agree that, and I think you shared this with me, and I hope I'm not misquoting, but a positive, affirming state of mind seems to help healing, doesn't it, Jim? Yeah. So all I can say is, I don't know about the current and where it's taking me, but I know that in my boat, I'm going to row, okay? And so I'm going to do what I can do to affirm health, to affirm life, to affirm love, And that will help me be a better expression of the Christ, more loving, kinder, and hopefully more fulfilling in my own journey. So it comes down to that unity. It's practical Christianity. Expressing, living, and being the Word, as clumsy as we are, we need to practice, spiritual practice. And we need to remember. Remember when we wander, which is most of the time when we're just living. But whenever we wander away from feeling like we're in divine order or in the sloan, in the zone, in the slot, just remember to come back to the power of the Word, which is you and me expressing in Christ. We are the visible expression of God. And we are unity. And together, we make a difference. Okay. Have a nice day. Thank you.